Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This program explores ways to improve our family circumstances and situations through gospel principles. What a wonderful blessing that is. My name is Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. Today, I'm joined by two wonderful guests, which I'm excited to learn more from. Sister Linda S. Reeves, who is the second counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Welcome, Linda.
So great to be with you again. Thank you, Matthew.
Exciting to have you here. You'll be able to speak from a lot of different experiences, from having served in different callings. You're serving now with the sisters in the worldwide church. What a blessing that is.
Amazing. Wonderful.
That's great. Yeah. And we also have joining us today Omar Canals, who is a member of the Sunday School General Board. Welcome, Omar.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
It's a great honor to have both of you here. Well-versed and well-experienced in life. And when I say that, I mean that quite seriously. We are all just trying to somehow make do and make it the best that we possibly can. And with that in mind, I have to say thank goodness for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, providing opportunities, providing ways to help our lives have greater meaning and greater blessing. What a privilege it is. What a privilege. There's no doubt about that. Our topic today is exploring ways or finding ways, learning how we might become better in communicating, in talking, sharing, how we're going to define that experience. We'll talk more about this as we go along in marriage and in family. And I just thought from the outset, I just like to frame this a little bit, is this is quite an exploration. I'm not quite sure when you fully arrive. In my mind, somehow, I thought that you reach a certain age, and all of a sudden you knew all the answers, you know, kind of a thing. My mom used to tell me that when I was a teenager, I thought I knew all the answers. My problem was I didn't know half of the questions, you know, kind of a thing. And then I found when I became married, I still had a lot of things to learn, and I didn't even know what to do in certain cases. When I became a parent, I panicked because I thought that there was a bestowal of all power, all knowing, all power as a parent that I would be able to know how to do these things. But this is an exploration for me. It's been an adventure to be able to learn as I'm going along in that. Similar experiences?
Absolutely. When you think that you have reached the top of the mountain, and you stand on that peak and you realize that the mountain chain still extends for miles and miles and miles, and there is always a higher mountain to climb behind the one that you just finished climbing.
Is that a bad thing?
No. It all depends on the age.
Okay. well, say more about that, Omar, because that's an important comment,
I think. When we are inexperienced and immature to some respect, when we are young and we think we know all the answers but we don't know half of the questions, we seem to get distracted by, gosh, this is too hard. You know, I thought I had made it, and come on, give me a break.
Right.
But then we begin to realize that that there is a divine usefulness in all the experiences and the adversity and the push that we have to make and the mountains that we have to conquer. I think that comes with age, and then different experiences that we face in life. That what could have been a total devastating experience, a real tragedy where we would never be able to come back from, becomes an experience. Elder Maxwell said that if we could transform adversity into adventures, mm-hmm. and problems into projects, and instead of trials, we would see triumphs.
Oh, that's really good. That's good. I like that a lot.
Well, I know that as far as communication skills and the feelings you have within a family and the mistakes that you make in your own life, we have now, our youngest children are on missions right now, and We had an experience with our youngest son. We have a lot of children, and we.
How many children do you have?
We have 13.
That's a fair amount.
And when we were recently on a mission, our son did not want to be with us. He wanted to be moved back to Utah, where we happened to be living at the time. Our mission was in California, and he wanted to go home. And he begged and pleaded. He got some of his friends to call us and beg and plead, and did. I mean, we heard about it daily, and it became. Finally, I said to my husband, I cannot do this anymore. So this one night before our son was going to bed, and he brought it up again, and I said, Ryan, this is the last time we will ever talk about this. You are staying. Dad and I have prayed about this over and over. We know this is where you're supposed to be, and there will be no more discussion. The next morning, he got up with a smile on his face and just ready to go back to school. And I said, what in the world has happened? And he said, well, as long as I thought there was a possibility, now I know there isn't. I've got to be happy about it. And I thought, great. This is the senior year of my last child. I have learned this long after we've raised the rest of our children. I just say that because I do want people to know that we are constantly learning. We'll never just be there where we no longer have to improve. We won't have a day that we're not making mistakes. So even the youngest of parents or the youngest of brothers and sisters, we still have things to learn. So.
And that's a good point to bring out. And I like this a lot. And at the same time, this is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we're in that process, we're never alone. So sometimes we're at the wit's end and we don't know exactly what to do next. But yet our Father in heaven has promised that he will not present us in a trial that we cannot at least address. And he will help us in that process. So young parents, newly married, seasoned veterans, we have couples who are going on a mission together and now they're together 24/7 and they are having a new discovery and thinking, who is this man? You know, kind of a thing. So we are learning in that process, but our Father in heaven constantly guides us. And that comes in a lot of different ways, spiritual experiences, prophets, seers, and revelators, scriptural experiences, watching others of how they are doing things within their marriages and families. So while we're constantly getting better, and I like this, that's why I ask you, is it a bad thing that we see more peaks? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. we rejuvenate ourselves with where we have been and where we are now, knowing that now we can continue on to be improved. And that will happen, and the Lord will help us through that experience. I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah. If I can go back to something that Sister Reeves just said, how many lessons did your son learn out of your declaration to him? First of all, he learned that he was so important to you and his dad that you prayed about his circumstances. Mm-hmm. The second thing that he learned was that Heavenly Father responded to your inquiry about your son. Mm-hmm. And then the results or the decision that he made followed a simple, rational, realistic course. Well, if this is the way my parents feel, and they made it a matter of prayer, mm-hmm. and this is the way my Heavenly Father thinks, wow, he knows me. He mm-hmm. knows what is best for me. I better get up and rejoice for the opportunity of going to school and stay here. There must be an experience that I need to learn in this place.
Thank you. And maybe before we were just saying, you will do this or this is what we want you to do. You're right. That really empowered the situation, didn't it, for him?
I believe that it did.
Well, one of the important principles here that we could look at in applying in our own experiences, in talking together, sharing together, whatever we want to call this communication, feeling together, living together, is there was exchange going on there. It may not have felt like that was a mutual exchange, but there was exchange. And our Father in heaven actually does this with us. You know, in many cases, we are petitioning for things that really are not necessarily for our own good. And yet there is an exchange of listening. And mm-hmm. I like the way that the Savior talks about this. Come now, let us reason together. Let us reason, and I like the way he even says this in Isaiah, face to face as a man reasoneth one with another. Now, I don't want to get too far off track here, but in some cases, I think there's a principle there that's really important is face-to-face communication is a critical element. And I don't want to take off on saying that all technology is bad, but the texting experiences, it can be a great blessing when it's used appropriately. But there are things that need to be done face-to-face mm-hmm. so that we can have an exchange so we can see, we can hear, we can feel, we can discern, and then we can respond. This is effective, great communication.
Well, and I love what you're saying about reasoning together. May I share another little experience? One of our sons who had gone down to college found himself in a situation in his first week with a roommate that was putting R-rated movies on the computer. And our son called us about this, and my immediate feeling was, we've got to get him out of there. And, you know, here's a university.
Send in the SWAT team.
That's right.
Save the son.
And, but we decided, after praying about it, we decided to talk it out with him and see if there were some other solutions. And what he came up with, I just loved. He ended up sitting down with this roommate, and instead of accusing the roommate, he put everything back on himself. And this is how he explained. He said, I know myself and my weaknesses, and I cannot expose myself to these things. I'm too weak. So I need your help. I need to have you not show these anymore in the room. I have to tell you that the response to that was incredible.
That's really good.
That young man felt what our son was saying to him and felt badly enough about it that he quit watching. That young man ended up going on a mission, getting married in the temple, and I just thought, what a lost opportunity it would have been if we just had immediately reacted to that, you know, pulled him out, not given him a chance to find a solution, and then he reasoned as you face to face with this other young man.
This is such a good example, and it's nice to be able to find elements to help us in that process, because he goes through a process himself of how do I approach this roommate? How do I communicate? How do I reason with him in this situation? And we nurture that opportunity in homes and in marriages. Too many marriages we find, statistically speaking, is you have individuals that they don't reason together. They may talk, but they don't talk about things that actually draw them together. They don't talk about living life experiences. They manage their marriages. And so statistically, you start to look at them, they don't spend much time actually in their living together, in sharing and reasoning back and forth. It's, we're going to do this. So let it be said. Mm. So let it be done. No back and forth where we really learn to love each other. As a matter of fact, in some ways, we're finding that we actually in the homes, we're living with strangers. You talk to children and they don't really realize that their mother and their father were real people, actually. They had dreams and aspirations. In a previous episode, Omar, you shared about your son asking, how did you feel when I was born and you held me in your arms? We don't tend to share very often in our expressions of real life relevant experiences. Children don't even know how their parents met. Parents don't know really what their interests are of their children because they're managing life, meaning how to manage the daily activities of life, without managing life, meaning how we live our life in sharing. And one way we might be able to look at becoming better in marriages and home is sharing more. Mm-hmm. Sharing, and that's this reasoning, sharing where we're coming from, how we're feeling.
Our feelings.
And sometimes our children do not have the capability or they don't remember who they were.
Oh, no.
At the beginning, I love the interaction between Alma and his sons. He uses constantly that word, remember. Oh, remember. It's an invitation to go back. Try to remember who you were and the principles that you were taught. This reaction of your son with the inappropriate movie, it was based on principles that he learned about life from his parents and about himself. We have a child. We have five children, and one of our children chose to make some wrong decisions in her life. I can sadly say that we don't have a good communication. We talk, but we don't have a the kind of communication that I would like to have. But there are some magic moments when my wife and I, on a one-on-one situation or sometimes meeting as a family, highlight how dedicated she was when she was in elementary school and how determined she was to be a faster runner and a more aggressive water polo player a little bit later in her life.
That's good.
There are things that she has forgotten, the talents that she had. She had a beautiful voice when she was a child, and we used to record a little tape for Christmas, every Christmas, with our children singing and so forth. The value of inviting our children to remember, not so much the sermon, now, this learn this from me, but remember, that's not the way you are. That is not who you are. When you were 3 years old, you did this. Oh, I had forgotten about that. I think there is value in inviting for remembering.
Tremendous value. This is such a good experience and a good principle, Omar, because this is the way our Father in Heaven actually works through the gospel. Mm-hmm. He's constantly inviting us to remember from that veil experience of where we were from, what we were like, and inviting us to come home almost, come home to the experiences of who we used to be. And there's a practical aspect that I really like about your example here is providing opportunities of inviting in practical ways. You were using a lot of different tapes, etc. I thought of our family loves Christmas, and one of the things they like to do is decorate a Christmas tree. And this is just a simple thing. What you're saying is, we gather Christmas ornaments wherever we go throughout the year. So when we're in a family event, in a family vacation in July, we'll go buy a Christmas ornament from where we were at or an experience we had together. And then when Christmas time comes, this is what I've noticed is what you're talking about, is they start putting up Christmas ornaments and they start talking, remember when we got this ornament, we were here. And you remember this is when we were laughing about this. And it explodes into a remembering experience of the times where we are drawing together. One of my favorite Christmas ornaments, and this is my wife, is our little booties. And when a child is born, they have a little porcelain booty that they hang on an ornament. No one can hang up that ornament, according to my children. Even my married children will come back and they will hang the ornament
own.
Or they'll give us permission to put it on the tree if they're not in the vicinity. But what has happened, and what you're saying is so good here, it's an opportunity where we share, and what happens is they put up their ornament and then it's like, I remember when you were born. And here's what happened when you were born. Mm. And this is what had taken place. And this is how we felt. And we were so scared as young parents, and we didn't have a nickel, you know, kind of a thing. And we tell these stories. And the nice thing about that has been is that siblings know about each other. Families are drawn together. And so what you're saying is good. And if I were to extrapolate that, find ways to cause these experiences to remember, to share opportunities, feelings, emotions, rather than just directing and guiding and dictating.
This is so great. I love the feelings that you are expressing about remembering. We see this all through the Book of Mormon. It's how Nephi taught his brothers, you know, remember what Moses did. Another thing you were doing, Omar, with your daughter was you were causing her to remember experiences, but you were also reminding her of all the positive things that she is and the things that she has accomplished in her life. That is so important, too. We of course, have had struggles off and on with several different children. And there was one in particular during teenage years that we had lost communication. We were communicating. He was living in the home, but we weren't communicating heart to heart at all, like you were describing. And in fasting and praying and petitioning the Lord over that, what to do, the feeling that came over us was to constantly express your love and constantly be telling him about all the positive things that he is, all the great things you see in him, and be communicating that all those things to him all the time.
This is so good, and I love these principles because they are real and they're relevant. The more that we can make you mentioned, Linda, at the very beginning, communication skills, and some people they don't like that because the skill. And I remember Sister Beck gave an address about one of the most important skills we'll learn in this life is how to receive and act upon revelation. And I remember thinking, oh, is that a skill? And I loved actually she used the word skill there, because skill usually connotes it's something we can learn. So if we take it in a broader context, I think learning to reason, learning to share, we can learn to do this. It does take practice, and it is sometimes scary to start off. I mean, we expose sometimes our inner self, but this is gospel principles. Sometimes our communication, we should share testimony. We should be able to go through and share not just our feelings, but here's what I believe. Even in, I found with struggling family members, is just to hear the reassurance and communicate that experience is there is a God in heaven, even though they might be struggling to know there is a God in heaven, from individuals that they've come to know is this is what the gospel principles do in helping us. Is I can't help but think of a lot of the literature in interpersonal communication said there's four things that will kill a relationship in our communication. One is criticism. It's criticism, where we start to attack a person in their person. So many of your comments is saying, we need to build a person. We may address behavior, but we never attack the person themselves. You're a bad person. You might not be a very good finance manager, but we'll address that in a different way. Never criticism. The other one is contempt, is when we do this with malice in the intent out of frustration to hurt someone. The next one is defensiveness. And we've talked about this actually, is we become defensive. And so if we can disarm defensiveness, our communication and our way to share improves. And then the last one, which is a fascinating that. It's called different things, is distancing, withdrawal. Some individuals call it stonewalling. They put up walls and they're saying, you're not getting in and I'm not getting out, yes. Kind of a thing. Yeah. Those are four elements that you'll see in literature over and over in communicative studies. When you see those four things in marriage, that marriage relationship is on its way out, or it's done, or in families. Now, in comparison, if we look at that, look at what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. Does it address those four things? Yes, in uplifting ways. So these are things that will drag us down. So what does the gospel teach us? What does the scriptures teach us about communication? How to overcome defensiveness? And you've actually mentioned these things. This is what I think is so wonderful. We're humble. We are humility. So defensiveness is the down. The upside to uplift is we become humble. We seek feedback. I mean, so many ways the gospel teaches us to overcome the natural detriments of fallen man in a fallen world. The gospel of Jesus Christ will save us in no other way.
I hope I am not seen as putting a plug for the Sunday school, but we are
plug
so
away.
But so the improving the learning and teaching in the home is also of extreme importance.
Extreme importance and part of the stated responsibility for Sunday school.
Absolutely,
is to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Good.
And I have seen. And I know that I'm not the only one who sees this, that there is one key statement in our doctrine that addresses a response that the prophet Joseph Smith gave to an inquirer, that we teach them correct principles and we let them govern themselves. I believe, in my experience, as I have traveled to different countries in assignments and so forth, that for some reason more value is given to the second part of the statement, respecting the integrity of the individual,
right.
The agency. Mm-hmm. We let them govern themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the first part is apologetic. We teach them correct principles and we let them govern themselves.
Right.
And I think we need to gear back to teaching correct principles. Because when we teach correct principles with clarity, and when I say clarity, I am not saying that we need to have all those skills of a great communicator, then our children will know where we stand. Our children will know what is important and valuable for us.
Right.
And at some point in their lives, especially when we say to them, remember, they will remember those lessons of principles taught. And then, hopefully, they will choose to govern themselves the right way.
Accordingly.
Yes.
Good.
I think that, thank you. I love what you have to say there. And it is amazing that our Father in heaven is willing to let us make mistakes because this agency is such an important thing. I think it's so important for us to realize and remember that our Father in heaven is there waiting anxiously to help us in all of these things, in being able to communicate. For years I had on my refrigerator this little quote from the president and prophet of the church, Joseph F. Smith, from years ago, where he says, when you speak or talk to your children, do it not in anger, do it not harshly in a condemning spirit. Speak to them kindly. Use no lash and no violence, but approach them with reason, with persuasion and love unfeigned. With this means, if you cannot gain your boys and your girls, there will be no means left in the world by which you can win them to yourselves. The Lord is anxious to help. Sometimes we think, I can't speak kindly all the time. I have a problem with yelling, or I have whatever people may say. But you start from where you are, and you petition the Lord, and you pray and study the scriptures and try to improve each day, and He will help you.
That's so nice. Sadly, we are out of time, and this is a topic which I hope will be explored. And those who are listening, I hope that you will consider your own circumstances and look for ways that it might help things to become better. And with that, I would highly recommend that we turn to the great resources that are available to every single individual, scriptures, the words of the prophets, seers, and revelators. I cannot say this almost without getting a little emotional, for I am indebted and always will be. Most of the things that have taken place that are good in my life, in my marriage, and in my family are directly related to the words of the prophets, seers, and revelators, seeking, wanting to be better and not knowing quite what to say. And then when they speak and give ideas, I'm not smart enough to figure this out on my own. So my wife and I, we would say, let's go try that. Let's go try this. So when President Kimball says we should not deprive others of our hearts, I took that quite seriously and said, what does that mean for me? And I started finding, I need to share my heart better. Mm-hmm. If I love my children, I need to tell them on the spot, I love you. If I'm concerned, I say, I don't know why I'm worried about this, but I'm worried about this in a tone. That's President Kimball, you know. And I think of President Monson, never let a problem to be solved become more important than a person to be loved, you know. And so then he says, write a card, send a note, give them a hug. I might be way too naive, but after that conference, I started writing notes more and sending notes, just trying to seek. So I encourage all of us to use the resources. The church is not short on providing materials. If you go to lds.org, you'll find resources on improving learning, teaching in church and in the home, family home evenings. There are so many things, small pamphlets like 3 Simple Ways to Becoming a Happier Family. If we could use the gospel principles in our daily life will be far better. So thank you so much for all that you've shared, and what a blessing it has been for me, and to be able to learn from your examples and your good practical advice. So I appreciate that. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.